Isn't that a great start? It's so good, so good. Well, today we are going to be concluding our series called Starting Point. And the reason we titled it that isn't because you haven't understood anything from God's Word. It isn't because we're all at that same place in our growth and maturity. But it is our starting point in our walk of faith. And we're going to be talking about building on a firm foundation. We're going to be talking and describing things that hinder us in our walk with the Lord. And we're going to be looking again at truth. And so, yeah, you hopefully grabbed one of the little bookmarks. Hopefully that'll be helpful. But they're big truths, meaning birth, identity, and growth. And it describes for us and brings a clarity to us that our starting point is with our birth truth. It's how a person is born into the family of God, becomes a part of God's family, becomes a child of God. And that's by placing their faith in what Christ did on the cross to be sufficient payment for their sin. And with that, this incredible truth happens. They have their sins forgiven. They are given eternal life. They are called a child of God, a daughter or a son. And then we see identity truth. Wow. Who Christ says we are. Not who we've been told we are. Not even who we think we are, or maybe the self-talk that goes on in our heads, telling us we're not enough, telling us, no, you should be ashamed of that. No, God can't use you. Think about the fear and the conversations we have in our heads and the freedom that we can have when we realize, no, God tells me the truth, and he tells me who I am in him. And not only am I forgiven and redeemed, not only am I his child, but he loves me completely and perfectly. He describes my relationship with him now is the same that relationship he had with his son, his other son, our bigger brother, Jesus Christ. That's the kind of relationship. And then the truth of growth and what it looks like and what it means to then grow as that child. And the clarity that we can have as we begin to understand the difference between those truths, because it's not the same truth that we come to faith on, that we grow in our faith. Yes, all three are centered around the person of Jesus Christ and who he is. But now we're talking about growing in our faith. And that's why we have a starting point, because we're really wanting to look at truth. And the problem with us wanting to build our lives on the truth of God's word in our quest of following Christ, we have a hindrance. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about this thing that continues to hinder us with the hopes that we could identify it, that we would then have the freedom and thinking about what freedom would look like in our lives. The freedom that God wants us to live with. Yes, our birth truth, freedom from the penalty of sin, those wages of sin, which is death, to be free from that, but then in our identity, be free from what the world is telling us who we are, and then in our growth, being free to experience the promises that God has given us for today. I wanted to read John 8:32. So could you put that up? Thank you. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. At the start of that verse, we see something. There's a connection with truth and freedom. Jesus is describing to his disciples, those who follow him, those who are believing in him, as you do that, you can know the truth. Not only can we know the truth, that truth will set you free. So what are the hindrances in our lives from that? You know, one of the things that I'm asked often, and I've actually had that question many times, What's God's will for my life? What's he wanting me to do, say, pursue, stop doing? What's his will? Have you ever had that question? None of you? Wow, that's amazing. I guess I'm just way behind all of you. Because I do ask that question. I don't always have the clarity I want, but in 2 Peter, we see something outlined here. And so I want to read it to you. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, just two verses, verses 3 and 4. It says this: by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. God's will for my life, that I would live a godly life. His will for your life, that you'd live a godly life. And this idea that God is powerful and big and in control out there, kind of this abstract thing, like way out there, we get that, we kind of see that, don't always understand it. But he's talking very personally to each one of us here. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. It continues, says, we have received all of this by coming to know him. Birth truth. When did that happen? When we were born into the family of God. He gave us everything we need. Do you believe that? Man, I wrestle with that. Because oftentimes it doesn't feel like I have everything I need to live a godly life. So what's going on? It says, by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Wow. In the culture that we live in, can you imagine escaping that corruption? Escaping the corruption not just of the world, but the corruption of our own hearts? What we just read there says he's given each one of us a promise. Those of us that know him have been born into his family. He's told every single one of us, I've given you everything you need, and I've given you great and precious promises. So when I think about truth, I recognize that truth, there's power in it. There is power in truth, that it's very powerful, can change things, change the course of history even, change the course in our lives. It's very powerful. I think we get that. But we struggle a little bit more with recognizing that his truth is personal. It's hard for us to kind of get our heads around a book that was written over 1,600 years. 40 different authors. That would be personal to each one of us. That's what he does. That's what the Spirit does. It actually does speak into every little corner and crevice in our lives. But this last one, this idea that truth is precious, I don't really like that word. I can't help but thinking of, oh, you're so precious, you know, like a little kid. Actually, my mom still says I'm precious, but that's fine. But I can hear, is it Gollum? Precious, the precious, the Lord of the Rings thing. I think of that. This idea of precious, though, these great and precious promises, that means it's valuable. It has this intense, incredible value. And God is giving it to you, this incredible, valuable promise that will help you live out your faith, help you escape the corruption of this world. Everything, he's given you this precious promise. And yet, we struggle, don't we? Now, some of that can be because we don't know those promises. You know, I think about what would hinder us from experiencing that. Maybe even knowing those promises. Well, one thing that hinders some people, not us here, but people around the world, there are groups of people, language groups, people groups, that don't have a single word of truth in their language. Not one word. These same people have no one that can share the truth with them. Now, that's a pretty good excuse, in my opinion, for not knowing these promises. But what about us? We have the truth. And certainly there could be something to said with how much time we spend in the truth. How much is reading God's word a part of our lives? Where we're reading it and it's speaking to us because of the Spirit helping us understand things that we wouldn't otherwise understand, and making that personal to where we're at and our circumstances. Certainly we could read it, and that, by not, that is a real hindrance to us. But there's something else at play. It's called a worldview. And we're going to talk about worldview today as something that really does hinder us in our walk. And maybe you aren't hindered in your walk. I know that I have been hindered in my walk with the Lord. There's things that cause me to bump against things. It's hard for me to move forward in my quest of knowing Him and making Him known. That's what I want. That's what I desire. I believe that's what we want and we desire. And yet, we find this hindrance. I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 12 talks about our plight. Even as these children of God, those who have been saved and now have this new identity of being in Christ, loved completely, perfectly, declared righteous, under no condemnation. Yes, that's us. And now in our growth, we're growing. We still have this problem. It's with our vision. It's with how we see. Corinthians describes it as looking through a glass darkly. That's the King James. A more modern version talks about looking at a mirror and the reflection in the mirror. But that doesn't quite capture it, because mirrors today you can actually see very clearly through. And the only thing you have to deal with is it's reversed, right? The reflection is reversed. But a mirror back then was dark. Think of it this way. When you guys leave and it's snowing right now, I'm kidding, it's not. Don't worry about it. But if you went out and there was ice on your windshield, do you know you can kind of see through ice? The other day I went out in my son-in-law's car, and no scraper, and so I drove from the parking lot up to the little circle there. Now, if anyone would have been here, I'm sure I would have hit him. You can't see. Hey, you ever seen that person coming down the road at you, snow all over their car, and they've got a little peephole like that big? That's my daughter. Stay away. Get out of her way. You ever done that? Run a little late maybe, 4 inches of snow, and you just do a little spot. Looking through a glass darkly is like looking through a windshield that's covered in ice. You can make out shapes. You might be able to get a few feet out in an empty parking lot. But man, when we're talking about a quest, can you really afford to be walking in a treacherous trail, not being able to see properly? Not having the vision that you need? That block is called a worldview. That block, the thing that we can't see, the thing that's hindering us from seeing more clearly, is this worldview that each one of us has. Here's a picture, a graph, that hopefully will help you understand it a little bit better. Because what we see in each other is what? Behavior. That's what we see. I see your behavior, at least some of it. You see some of my behavior. And we make some judgments based on that. But we know that even as we raise children and we try to parent well, we try to get deeper than just the behavior, right? Well, not when we're mad, but the rest of the time, right? Stop doing that. We focus. It's easy to see, but that's coming from a value. The things that we value play out in our behaviors. It's very evident. The things that you value, you'll talk about a lot. We could look at your checkbook, or actually it would be your credit card statement now, right? Just look at your credit card statement. We would see your values being played out and how you spend your time and your money and your energy, the things that you really think are important. And those things come from a deeper place, our beliefs. And we typically feel, or at least I do, like, well, no, that's the bottom. My belief, that's the bottom. I mean, we talk about faith a lot and what we believe. But this worldview is at our core. And it's even the thing that we base our beliefs on. Our view of God. Our view of life. And so, just to maybe illustrate this, think about two people that have never seen an elephant. And I know two people have never seen an elephant. Two of my buddies, actually a couple, from New Guinea, never have seen an elephant. Imagine if we had them in a room, and then in the other room, we had an elephant in a dark room. And we'll send in Calvo, the lady, first, and we send her in, and she approaches the elephant from the front. And she can't see. She's kind of working her way through, and all of a sudden, she feels something kind of, well, it's like breathy, warm air. And then she reaches out and she feels this thing. It's flexible. It's soft. It's a little moist. It's gentle. That's the trunk, of course. And so she goes back into the room, and then we send Kewaka in. But this time, we actually send Kewaka in right at the other end of the elephant, not towards the trunk, but towards the back. And so he goes in, and at first he feels a similar thing, something flexible, and it's got hair on the end, though, and it smells really bad. And then he goes a little farther, and you can imagine what his experience with an elephant would be, right? And then we're talking with him later, saying, hey, you guys got to touch an elephant. What do you know about an elephant? And they describe that for us. They would tell us. Would they be accurately describing an elephant, either one of them? No. It's part of, it's a piece of, it's just a sliver of the truth, but it's not all of the truth, is it? Those of us who've seen elephants, or pictures at least. I got to ride one in Thailand one time. They're not just soft and gentle, I can tell you that. They do smell bad. So there's pieces of truth in there, right? That's how we're looking at the world. I want to just try to emphasize that when we're looking at the world, we have this view, and it taints everything. We're looking through that little knothole. We're looking through that, just the glass we can't quite see. We're using our experience. No, can you imagine that couple later that night arguing over what an elephant is? Completely convinced that they know. They experienced an elephant. They can certainly speak to an elephant. They can only speak to the little part that they actually saw, that they actually experienced and felt. It's not the whole truth. In here is the whole truth. I wanted to read a definition to you. It's describing what a worldview is. A worldview is a set of presuppositions about the basic makeup of our world, which may be true, partially true, or entirely false, which we hold consciously or subconsciously, consistently or inconsistently, about the basic makeup of the world. It's the way that we see life. It's our perception of reality. And I say perception because what you and I see and what we've experienced is only a perception of reality. It is not reality. We have little bits of experiences and little bits of truth. And what we tend to do then is put that all together. Try to take these pieces. Think about how polarized our culture is. Where do you think that comes from? A different worldview, which affects how and what people believe and their values and certainly their behavior. So where does this worldview come from? Can you think of a saying that you've heard that might be informing on that level? I'll start. I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, I got a sty, and my dad said, well, if you pee in the road, you get a sty. Anybody heard that? Oh, that's truth right there. And it was true. My dad knew something that I didn't know he knew. And anyway, I got a little older, so then when I was 19, I stopped peeing in the, I'm kidding, it was much younger. And guess what? Haven't had a sty in a long, long time. So is that truth? No. But what throws you off is I've seen some people with styes recently. And I'm thinking, what have you been up to? Like that. And now you will too. Every time you see somebody with a sty, you'll be thinking, what have they been doing? That's not truth. It's not true. And telling kids when they go out and they're playing, don't go out there in the cold, you'll catch a cold. False. It's called a virus. Cold doesn't give us a cold, a virus doesn't. So we know that, and we can adjust. Those are cute, those are easy. But what about things like, hey, God loves good little girls and boys. Is that true? God loves everybody. And what a thing to tell a kid. You're good. Why? Because of your behavior. Your behavior. Be good. Be good. And God will love you then. You want to talk about poisoning a well? You want to talk about giving a version of the truth that's maybe true, partially true, or entirely false? That's entirely false. One, we're not good. Number two, God loves us despite us not being good. And he loves the bad little boys and girls too, just as much as he loves the good ones. Right? Those are things. How about this? I'll read from a list. God helps those who help themselves. What about the idea of karma? Oh, I know why that bad thing happened to you. I know why that good thing happened. All paths lead to God. Let your conscience be your guide. Oh, please don't. That sounds like a horrible idea. Peace through strength? Kind of like that one. Is that how Jesus brought peace? Through strength? He brought our peace with God by sacrificing his life for us. Here's another one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Oh, wait, that one is true, actually. That one's true. No, you see what it's communicating, right? If you looked apart, you're closer to God. You're more righteous by your behavior. What you wear. Hey, did everybody wear their Sunday best this morning? I see a few that probably didn't. Right? And what do we look at? The outside. As if wearing your Sunday best makes you more righteous. The thing that makes us righteous is Christ died for my sins. He took the penalty of those sins. And he says, I'm righteous, not because of what I wear, not even because of what I do, but because I have found forgiveness and redemption in him. Follow your heart. You ever hear that one? Watch a Disney movie sometime. Don't. Don't follow your heart. Your heart's deceptive. It's wicked. It will deceive even you. Oh, just you do you. Don't. That's not truth. A little sliver of truth, partially true, or a lot of it's just entirely false. We could go on and on. A worldview is a lens that we look through. It's this tainted view, this small little bits of truth that we try to put together. And we put those things all together. It makes a shack. It makes a shanty. Could you put that up for a second? This is every one of us. This is what we've built. And we can still blame our parents, even if we're in our 50s, 60s, and 70s. Still blame them. We can blame the world. But what we've done, we've taken little bits of what we've been taught, the lies that we believe, the misperceptions we believe. Well, I had this experience, and I know what an elephant is. This is how I view God. I know this about God. If it doesn't come from the truth, no, you actually don't. You might have a perception of it. You might have experienced some of his love, but you don't know the full measure of his love unless you know these great and precious, valuable promises. That shack represents our worldview. That thing, the way that we think, our very core, the way that we're looking at the world. And as we look at the world, we're going to be learning together. That's why we call this series Starting Point. The starting point is the person of Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to build our lives on the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he says. And Scripture describes him as the Word. He is the Word. He is the truth. So we're going to build our lives. That's why we call it Starting Point. That's where we've begun. And what we are going to do as we continue forward, I want to challenge you. Start to recognize your worldview. And instead of being given a new and precious promise, as we go deeper into God's Word, we'll find these amazing truths. Like we've been doing over the last 6 months, and the last 10 years here, this rich heritage in this church of truth. Man, and we get these precious promises, and it'd be like a chandelier, and we take it, and we put it up in that dumpy shack, or we put a brand new door on that shack. What would you do with that shack? You want to try to refurbish that, put some new things in it? Wouldn't it be better to doze that thing down and build new? Let's not remodel. Let's build new. Anybody remodeled a house? Anybody buy a distressed foreclosed HUD home before? You guys are all smart. Oh, three of us, sorry. Yeah, you guys aren't very bright, I can tell you that. Don't do, no, guess what? Let's build new. On that foundation of truth, which is the person of Jesus Christ, that cornerstone. So as we're hearing truth, these precious promises, the things that God says about who you are, what he's like, how we grow, the battles that we experience, that we'd put that on, this new foundation. So we might experience what God has for us, this incredible freedom that comes from knowing the truth. I want to close as we think about this quest that we're on with Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is right where Denny left us last week as well. Let me read it to you. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I pray this week as we're in his word that we'll be praying that prayer, that he would show us the truth, he would reveal areas of our own worldview that are hindering us. This idea that he would be able to transform our minds, change the way we think, change the way that we see the world, change the way that we see each other, change the way that we see people from other churches and other believers, change the way that we see those that don't know Christ, that we would put aside our worldview of how somehow maybe we're better than them because look how we live and we know Jesus and look how look at all those terrible things they're doing. You think God looks at them that way? He looks and sees people that he loves so much that he gave his son for them. Let him change how we think about sharing the truth with them. How we might love them more the way that God loves them. Let's put aside those things that we think and have been taught and we understand just partially, darkly, can't see it. And let's build our lives on the truth. The truth of who he is. So go ahead and stand up. We are going to sing the creed, which is just a statement of what we do believe. And we love you because you first love us. Lord, help us to see your truth and that it would set us free, to live in the freedom that you give, that only you can. Pray for everyone here, those watching online, that as we pursue you, that we would know you. We'd fall deeper in love with you. We'd understand your truth. Lord, help us to see those things that hinder us from understanding your truth, that we'd put them aside as we quest forward, pursuing you and doing that together. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Drive safe. Have a good afternoon and a great week.